Today we have a very special speaker. We have Kelvin from the People City Mission. I'm curious, how many have heard Kelvin speak? By show of hands. Okay, good mix. So I know last time I learned so much from Kelvin, so I'm really grateful that Kelvin's here. We'll have Kelvin come on up, and he'll give us his word.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back with you guys. Brent told me while they were going to be gone, I was super jealous. I've got two kids, a 35-year-old and a 30-year-old. Neither one are married, no grandkids. I'm probably going to be 100 before I see grandkids. You guys pray for me, please. That'd be great. So I want to talk to you this morning about grow up. Turn to the person next to you and tell them to grow up, all right? Yes. Mark Twain said this. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Right? Who grew up there? Was it Dad or Mark Twain? That's kind of how it works. We need to grow up, and it's our job as ministers and pastors to help you grow and mature in your faith, in your walk with God, in your relationships with your brothers and sisters and your husbands and wives. Unfortunately, we also spend a lot of time dealing with people that haven't grown up, and because of their faults in their character, they have faults in their relationships. And that is exactly what I want to talk about this morning. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to become more and more like Him. Now, when my son was like 2 years old, he was really attached to his binky. And we were at that point in our life trying to figure out how to get that binky away from him and help him grow up and mature and move past binkydom. And so we decided to bribe him at one point. I don't know if that's good parenting or not, but he loved some of the Disney movies, and one of his favorites was Lady and the Tramp. You guys like Lady and the Tramp? He loved that little movie, and we made a deal with him. So we would buy him the video. It was VHS back then because I'm old. And we got the VHS tape, and we handed it to him and says, "Okay, you give us the binky, we'll give you the video, and we'll just take care of it that way. And then, you know, that hopefully that's going to be a thing of the past in our minds." So we hand him the video. He hands us his binky. He watches the movie. When the movie's over, he hands us the movie back and wants his binky back, right? He wasn't really quite ready to give that binky up, that little source of comfort to him. And I think that's the way we are in our lives as well sometimes. God says, "I want this from you. This is an area in your life that needs to change so you can grow up and be mature and growing in." We're going to talk about three things that God wants us to grow in this morning. And he wants us to grow in these areas in our life, but we're not always ready and we want the binky back. We want that thing back because it's a part of who we are and how we have maintained our lives to this point. And we're not ready always to give those things up, but that's exactly what He wants from us. I saw a thing that had a list of 30 character flaws. I'm not going to give all 30 of them to you here, but I'm going to give you just a few. One of them is vanity, another is greed, jealousy, a lust for power, anxiety, and these are flaws that you can add to your list what the flaws are in your life, and you probably know what they are. You know those areas in your life that you kind of fail in from time to time. Some of our flaws are just annoying to everybody else. They're a huge deal. Some of our flaws really cause strife in our relationships, and other flaws can be fatal flaws in our walk with God. They can be ones that can really derail us in our life. And so we want to get past those flaws, and we want to grow up. Let's look at this. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, now I love the book of Ephesians. Paul always starts off talking doctrine, and then he starts meddling with their lives, like a good preacher should, right? It's exactly what he does. So he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Let's read that again. "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Now, if we're honest, we all know that there have been times, maybe even in this last week, where we have failed to live up to that calling that we have in Jesus Christ. So we want to look at three things here this morning that he talks about in the first couple of verses. He goes on, just live a life worthy of your calling. And then in verse 2, he says, always be humble. So I challenge you this morning to grow in humility. What is humility? Humility is a decision to be a person of service. It's a decision to never be selfish. This is one that is really connected not just to what's internally going on inside of you, but what is happening in your relationship with God and your relationship with the people around you. To be humble before God, which we kind of figured that one out because God is God, but we're not always humble to the other people that are around us. And that's what I like, this decision to be of service. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 says, haughtiness goes before destruction, humility precedes honor. When we learn to serve, we will find ourselves raised up in the eyes of the people around us because we're serving them, and we'll have more opportunity to really pour into their lives. I think that's what evangelism should look like. When it comes to the call of our calling to go and make disciples of all nations, when we go and we serve them and we serve a need that is a felt need in their life, then we are raised up by serving them. We are raised up in their eyes to someone that they can trust, that they know cares about them, and then we are able to really pour more into them. Humility leads to some sort of suffering sometimes. How many of you know that does? Sometimes when we're humble, it means that we may get abused a little bit because we're going to be humble. Others may take advantage of you when you are humble. But God says, the Bible says that God exalted Jesus to the highest place, giving him a name that is above all names. And Jesus was humble to the point that he gave his life on the cross for you and me, and that by that his name was high and lifted up. And I think the same thing happens when we begin to serve the people around us, the people that God has put into our life. And they can look at us and see that we are people of honor and worthy of honor and worthy of trust. Paul says this in another place. He says, I count all things lost for the sake of knowing Christ. Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus was talking about humility, said this in verse 5, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. Humility, walking with God in humility. Another place it says, Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom of God would be the one who is the servant of everybody else. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who is willing to serve. So that is not an easy thing to do, but Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, there is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Beat it down, stifle it, mortify it as much as one pleases, it is still alive. Even if I should conceive that I had completely overcome pride, I should probably end up being proud of my humility. That's kind of how we are. We gotta watch that all the time, that pride versus humility battle that goes on in our life. We have to be aware of it, and we have to be ready to say, hey, God, that pride's rising up in my soul again. I need more of you in my life so that I can overcome. So how do we stay humble? confess your pride, ask God to help you, lift up the name of Jesus and live for his glory and for his honor and not yours. Meet the needs of people that are around you. Ask questions of people. Find out what's going on in their life. Put them before you, and people will begin to trust you and understand that you really care about them. Wow. So, appetite says, I read this somewhere. It says several things here. Appetite says, be sensuous and enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful and expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied and please yourself. Psychology says, be confident and fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior and promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable and believe in yourself. But God says, be wise and humble yourself. So, learn to be humble. Grow in your humility. And then the second thing that he says, always be humble and gentle. Grow in your gentleness. What is gentleness? Somebody said it's this. Gentleness is a decision to extend grace. See that again. Gentleness is a decision to extend grace. A few years ago, I got to go to like a sportsman outdoor show downtown, you know, the big event down there. And they had a guy that was there with his bird dog. And this dog and trainer were incredible. He could get, that dog listened to everything he said, obeyed every command to go into the kennel, to go on top of the kennel, to go down here. And he had a fake duck that he threw out into the crowd. And there's all this noise going on and all this stuff, all these people around. And that dog was laser focused on the trainer. And the trainer would say, go left, go right, go farther, come back. And that dog listened to every command that he was given. And that dog was super well-trained. And I remember there was a kind of a question and answer session, and they because there's some people were like, when should you start training a puppy? Is it like 3 months or 4 months, 6 months? When do you really start training him? And this guy said something that was super powerful. He said, the first time I pick a puppy up, I start his training. Now, how many of you have ever had a puppy in your lap? What do? They wiggle and they jump and they're all over the place and they want to move because puppies have all this energy. And so he says, when the first time I get a puppy in my lap, I put him in my lap and I squeeze him really tight so he can't move. And as soon as he stops moving, he says, I release the pressure just a little bit. I don't completely let him go. And then eventually he's going to start being a puppy again. He says, and then I bring the pressure back in on him just a little bit more until he stops. And then I release the pressure again. And he says that gentle way of saying, hey, I'm the one in control. You need to follow my lead is what he is teaching that puppy from the very beginning. And then to the extensive training that they go through, that dog learns to trust the trainer and know that he's safe with that trainer. Now, I've seen people treat dogs a lot differently than that, trying to train them. I was hunting with a guy one time, and he had this really good bird dog. She was pretty good, but she kept running away from him. And then about halfway through the day, I figured out why she wouldn't come back. Because anytime he got mad at her, he would pick her up and throw her across a creek or throw her onto a bunch of rocks. And I'm like, no wonder she doesn't want to come back. But when we are learned to be gentle with the people around us and help them to find grace that we can offer because we've already received it. We've already understood that grace that God has given us. And then we can extend that to somebody else. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That takes self-control, doesn't it? Because we want to tell somebody off when they cut us off in traffic, or somebody doesn't do exactly what we want when we want it. And we have to learn to be patient with them and be gentle with them. Now, we're gentle and we're gentle with the things that we value. Think about that. We're gentle and careful with the things that we value. In 2017, my twin brother passed away. And he was a musician, and he had a bunch of guitars. He gave a bunch of his guitars away when he knew he was dying, some to some young men in the church that he was attending, and just because they were doing worship music, and he wanted to invest in them. But there was one guitar that was pretty special to him, and it was a 12-string Ovation guitar, and he kept it in perfect condition because he valued it. It was one that he would sit down with his daughter, and they would write songs together, and they would sing together. And it was, so this guitar had not just, you know, just had all kinds of sentimental value, as well as the value of, it was a nice guitar, it was a valuable guitar. And when he knew he was going to die, he just had a few months left, he says, "Kelvin, I want you to have that guitar." His daughter at the time was 14 years old, had really no interest in the guitar, but I really knew that she probably would someday. So I took that guitar home with me, and I played it occasionally and kept it nice like my brother had kept it nice, and with always the intention of giving it back to my niece at the right time. She graduated from Texas A&M about a year ago. And it was in my mind that I'm going to give it back to her after she graduates. She calls me right before graduation and says, "Do you still have my dad's guitar?" And I told her, "Zoe, it's always been your guitar, not mine. I've just been taking care of it till you were ready to have it back." It was a joy to take that thing back that I had taken care of. I put some new strings on it before I gave it back to her. And I made sure it was all cleaned up and ready for her to play, and went to her graduation, and we had so much fun watching a video that her and her dad put together of the two of them playing guitar together when she was like 8 years old with this guitar in her hand in front of the TV, and we all cried and we laughed, and it was a wonderful thing because we valued one another, not just the guitar. We valued one another and cared for one another. So we need to learn to be gentle with people. The things that we love the most, we need to be careful with. There are a lot of people that are hurting around us, and from time to time, you may wonder, why is so-and-so acting so weird lately? There's probably something going on in their life. Instead of being mean to them and responding in kind to maybe their shortness, we need to take a deep breath and pray a little bit and say, "Hey, God, what can I do to help this person? What's going on in their life? Why are they so short with me? Husband and wife, son and daughter, son and dad, those relationships can get stressed. But we need to learn to treat each other with gentleness. Ask God to give you more love for difficult people. Ask God to give you even more love for your enemies. You may not value them very much, but Jesus died on the cross for them just like he died on the cross for you. Gentleness. Grow in your gentleness. And lastly, grow in patience. Now, I'm going to brag on Christy this morning. Christy's office is just down the hall from mine. She's a very patient person because I am always leaving things on her desk that I'm not supposed to leave there. And it's just, this week, I think it was a knife and another and something else, a couple of different things. I was opening a box, and I left my knife on the counter, and she just quietly picks it up, brings it down to my office, and lays it on my desk. And I grin and say, "Sorry." But that patience, and we all do annoying things, don't we? We all do annoying things. We've got to learn to be patient. What is patience? Somebody said this. Patience is wait without worry. Never give up on people. I'll keep working with you and helping you move to the center of God's will, even though your progress is slow and erratic and you keep messing up. I'm going to keep being there for you and I will be patient. Sometimes God uses erratic people in our lives to help us grow, doesn't he? He helps us grow because we have to practice that patience. Now, somebody said you should never pray for patience, right? Because the old thing says if you pray for patience, God's going to give you an opportunity to practice. And there's probably some truth to that. But I would say this, the way to find more patience is to find yourself in the presence of God on a regular basis. When you come into the presence of God, whether it's in worship like we've done this morning, or in your devotional life, or in a time of worship somewhere else, or a time when you get away with God and get alone with Him, whatever that looks like, when we come into His presence and we realize how irritating and erratic we are, when we come into the Holy of Holies, with the Holy Son of God, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, we realize we fall so short of the character of God. And He still loves us, and He's patient with us. And He'll forgive us every time we need to be forgiven. He'll encourage us every time we need to be encouraged. He'll correct us when we need to be corrected. And we will mature because He is patient with us. And if He's been patient with us, we get to share that with other people. Be patient. Be patient. I'm going to tell a story on myself. I'm annoying sometimes. And one of the things that I do at my house is I'll leave doors open in the kitchen, right? And just I'll leave them open. I'll get busy. I'll do something. And I don't close the door. And then there's a drawer open here. And my wife will have to come behind me. And she kind of got fed up with me one day. And I could have reacted in anger, but I reacted in being a jerk in a good way. And here's what I did. So I heard what she said. I said, I'm going to try and do better. And so I think it was a day later I decided she was in the living room, and I went into the kitchen, and I opened every door and drawer in the whole place. And then I just waited. I just waited. And then finally she gets up from the living room, and she walks in, and she starts laughing because she realized, although I was being a jerk about this, I was also saying, hey, I hear you, right? Now, I would not, if you're a young person, this was like in the 30th year of my marriage, not in the second year. Don't do it in the second year. Wait till you know you're really solid. But I was saying to her, you know, I hear you, and I thank you for being patient with me. I'm trying to do better. So I want you to know this, that God never, ever gives up on you. He'll be patient. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, if the musicians would come right now. You look at the superheroes of the Bible, right? You think of David and you think of Paul, and you think of Moses and Joshua, and every one of them were incredibly flawed. But God still used them, and God was patient with them. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave them. He says, God, the Lord's patience means salvation. That's everything. That is everything. If it wasn't for His patience and His gentleness, we would be without hope. And I want you to know this morning. There are a lot of people in your life that live without that hope. And And the only way they're ever going to find that hope for life is when you show gentleness and kindness and respect. When we grow up and put others first in our lives. When we show and serve people in humility and patience and kindness. That's hard to do. I just invite you to stand with me this morning. Let me pray for you. Father, I know that in a group this size that there have to be some people that are in a place in their life when they are in conflict. They're either in conflict with you or they're in conflict with somebody in their life. Lord, I just pray that you will help them to come into your presence, find your love and patience and kindness. Lord, that the humility that you had to give your only begotten Son, and Jesus, the humility you had to allow yourself to be crucified on that cross. Let us remember that and share it with others. In those relationships that are stressed this morning, I pray that the people in this room will begin to reach out in these ways and grow up in their maturity so that that relationship can be healed and mended, and that the lost of this world can find you and your hope that you have to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Let's start with a prayer of salvation, thanking God and asking for Him to come into our lives and wipe us clean. Please repeat after me. Lord, thank you. I have fallen short. I have made mistakes. And I have failed you. Lord, I come before you with humility. Lord, come into my life. Lord, wipe these sins, wipe these mistakes clean. Lord, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your gentleness. And thank you for your love. God, thank you for being with us today on Sunday. Thank you for bringing us all together in worship and gratitude and humility to serve you and to grow in our faiths. Lord, I ask that you be with our friends and family far and near. Be with them as they're traveling. Be with them as they're experiencing things that we might be unaware of. Lord, I ask that you use the Spirit to speak to us, that you come into our lives, and that you urge us to take action, to be kind, to be loving, to be patient, to be gentle with those around us that are close, but then also those that we don't see eye to eye. Lord, give us the power, give us the love to act in such ways as you have commanded us. In your heavenly name, amen. If anyone would like prayer, please come forward. Have a wonderful week. Wonderful rest of your Sunday.